headache today for a few minutes.
February 23rd, 1961,
Fairbanks, Alaska.
The town hall, Yukon Historical Society, and Mrs. Adriana Mitchell Coyle will give us a story on cave now.
I suppose I should start about the time that we left Tacoma, Washington, to come up here. We left the first part of July and arrived in Boston on Friday the 13th of July. And the railroad, the White Pass Yukon Railroad, was not connected at that time. The steel was not put together, I think, until about September of 1900. So we had to go in a little boat down Lake Linderman and Lake Bennett to set the steel to Skagway. Well, then the next I remember arriving in Boston, and it was a beautiful day. And we looked up at the hill and said, well, now that's the hill we're going over to, because we were going up to 11 El Arabo, where my father and uncle were mining. So, of course, I don't remember too much of it. I was quite young at the time. But there's a few experiences that we had on the train that I still remember. And one of them, I guess every child in Alaska, of course, has got to taste steel in the wintertime. We had walked, my brother and I, many times from this train over to the other, and had to pass a lot of steam pipes. So in the summertime, we had to watch out because they were hot. But this particular day in the winter that we went over, and he was able to take his hand out of his net, which I wasn't able to do, to taste it, so I had to put my tongue on it. And the people that were on 12 above on El Dorado, they were Frenchmen. And you could just imagine the language that was going on at that time. So, of course, there was a lot of speaking and screaming, and with no hot water or anything like that. So finally, my uncle came and the skin of my tongue on the pipe. I'll never forget that, because I wasn't able to eat for quite a number of years. We were there without thinking about that experience. We were there for 2 years, and in 1902, we moved to Dawson, which is about 15 miles, I would say. And that fall, I started school, and it was a new building. The Dawson Public School was built in 1902. They had a kindergarten there, but I went to first grade. And we had 8 5 rooms, and here just a few years ago, this building burnt down in Dawson. And we lived on 8th and Harper. You could see all over town, and often people ask me, well, what did you do for amusement up there? You had no radio, and why, that's terrible not to have a radio. No moving pictures. Well, I said, I don't know, we always seem to be busy. And nowadays, people don't do the things that they did then. We never knew of anyone paying for a babysitter. You always took your children with you. And even the dances, which when we got to be about 9 or 10 years old, we always went to the Masonic dances and the Oddfellow dances, and we had them every Saturday night. One would be one night, and then the next night would be the other. So that way was one of the entertainments. And of course, in 1907, my father, who was mining down here on Dunkirk, he put the first deep hole down on Discovery Dome. And we decided to come down for a visit. So we came down to Fairbanks. and 7, but we didn't stay, as our home was in Boston. We went back that fall. But during that summer here, we stayed in a hotel on Dome, which had some hotels at the time. Of course, right now, people don't think there was any hotels or any saloons or anything, because there's nothing on Dome Creek at the present time. Then in the fall, we walked from Dome Creek over to Perry. We stayed a couple of nights at Little El Dorado. There were some friends there. And then we were able to take this little railroad back into Fairbanks and went back on the last boat, which was the steamer Lavelle Young. And when we got back to Dawson, I was asked to be one of the ones that would do some dancing. And this Scotch man that used to give lessons had 4 of us, and we did the Irish reel and the Scotch reels for our entertainment, and that's what the people did. They had many entertainments. If there were, knew there was going to be some entertainment, why, we would be invited to dance. And then he had others dance too. They danced the Hounslow and the Irish Washerwoman and the Sailor Hornpipe. So that way, why, it took up quite a bit of our time, and where we practiced was in the fire hall, which was the museum, and burnt down in Dawson here a couple of years ago. So, of course, when there was a fire, well, that would interrupt our practice, but we always enjoyed having the horses come out and all this excitement sound. And 24th of May, which is Queen Victoria's birthday, was always celebrated with maypole dances and the races for children. And instead of giving money, why, they would always go, and would be something like they would go and get nugget jewelry and things like that that were given to the children. But we had all kinds of pops and candy and things that they gave them too. Another celebration was the midnight sun. And that is when you have to walk there, it's about 4 miles to go around. But when you come back, you can slide down the hill, so it didn't take us so long to come back. So every year, we made that trip up there. And of course, they had a horse rig to take the pop and candy and things that they had up there at that time. So all in all, why, people just seemed to make their own entertainment. And in the wintertime, I just don't know where the time went, but we were always busy doing something. And you never thought of, like kids today, you see them in slacks and jeans and things. Well, the girls never wore that. The only time that we ever got a chance to wear our brother's jeans were when, after school, we'd go out and slide on the hill. There's quite a few hills in Boston, good sliding, too. The waterman would take and wet these hills down so that it would make excellent sliding, bobsled sliding, and also we used pans. We'd get a dish pan or something, not like they have these great big saucers nowadays that you can buy in the store and go sliding with. We used to use a dish pan or a pie tin or something and sit in that and slide down the hill. Older young people, that would be those who would be about 19 or 20, that would go bobsledding. They didn't want us out there at night. But we used to go out there in the afternoon to use their slides. They'd go down up at about 9th and Church, which was just a block from our place, and go on down, right down past the churches, right down to the river. And then, of course, they'd have to walk back up again with their sleds. We also lived just a block from Robert Curtis, and we saw him every day that he was in Dawson. he passed our place, and we always talked to him, and he always had something to say to us.
About how many people
lived in Dawson, Louisiana? Well, in the early days when we first came there, they were in the thousands, you know. But when we left there in 1910, there were not so many people then, at that time. And after my father got through marrying down here, we went up, we came back to Dawson, and we had ground on 30 above Bonanza, which is 17 miles from Dawson. In the summertime, we would pedal up there by bicycle, which we really did, thanks. Yes, young people had bicycles, and that was one of the diversions, too, in the evening would be to go out for a ride. And many times, we'd always go up to the Ogilvy Bridge, which is probably about 3 miles from Dawson, and we didn't have roads like we have here, but we made it all right. And I often wonder why. Curious, I remember Bill and I went up by ourselves on this trip, 17 miles. We never thought about bears, and I don't think there were too many bears in that country at that time. Well, then, because in Dawson, we never had to use bed nets. But when we lived on the creeks, we did. But with the smoke and things, we didn't have to use them. And head nets, you'd only see them if there was somebody going out into the hills.
Who were some of the colorful characters that you remember over there in those years? You didn't have to know Jerusalem
Girl. No, I didn't know them. But we had the judges there, Judge McCauley's boy, and Bob went to school with us, and Grace Henderson, his father was governor of the Yukon Territory at that time. She was in school with us. And also one of Judge McCormick's daughters. It's the only daughter he had. But she had already been out to school when she came there. And of course, in the Canadian schools at that time, every morning we said the Lord's Prayer. That was the first thing on the agenda, school. And people say, school is so much harder now than it was then. But at that time, when you got into high school, you just didn't take 4 subjects. You took all 12 subjects. And you matriculated in 3 years instead of going 4 years. So really, it was, I think, harder at that time to be in school. I see Eddie Davis is there. He was in my class at one time in school. But and Mrs. George Black, who's not here now, he was one of the ones in my school at the time. Frank, he was older. I don't think that Frank went to that school, did you, Frank? The Dawson Public School?
Oh, yeah.
I thought you went to the other school.
No.
They had,
I went with your brother,
Art. Mm-hmm. They had 2 schools in Dawson. They had the Catholic parochial school and then the Dawson Public School. The Mellon family were very friendly with us. In fact, my folks and both of them were young people in Tacoma before they ever came up here and were ever married. So, of course, Mrs. Mellon always used to tell about the time that we were down there playing, and I painted Leslie's face. Leslie always had a lot of paint, so I proceeded to paint his face all up. Well, no, they just thought that was kind of funny to think of that. But as I say, we always went together in the afternoons, The women were going out while they took their children with them. I didn't leave them home for babysitters. And
how about
biblical
trips in the summer?
Well, they always had a lot of excursions in the summertime. That way kept them busy. 1905, engineers came to the Dawson country, and they had a big celebration on the dome. Not on the dome that you see from Dawson, but the dome on Hunter Dome. And that is the first time, of course, that I did, well, of course, don't remember him, but he remembered me, and that was, Mr. Carr was there at that time when we were up there. And that evening, we went down to, where was this we went? Murray's place, anyhow, Murray's roadhouse. And
state.
Yeah, Dominion Roadhouse. And this man had a... and his wife had a cat, and this cat had a whole lot of baby clothes. So I can remember he dressed the cat all up and thought that was wonderful to be able to have a little buggy for it and something, you know, we didn't have in Dawson. Because we always had dogs. We always had one dog or two. And in the winter time, that took up a lot of our time.
Adriana,
I don't know whether
you were too young at that time or not, but you recall the time that old Chief Isaac made it rain.
No, but I remember the time that Chief Isaac stopped Art on the street and tied his shoelace and told him to go home and tell your parents that Chief Isaac tied his shoelace for you today. I remember that. Because the natives, we didn't call them natives, they were always called Indians. And they would come up very often from New Tide with their things that they wanted to sell or barter or exchange, whatever you had. But they were always welcome at our place. They had a big white porch there, and they'd sit outside there and have something to eat all. And years afterwards, after I was married and made a trip in, back to 1920, we were going along the street and I ran into a couple of these Indian women, and they stopped me and they started in saying, "Oh, I remember you, you live up there," and all this and that. And then he got took a kick out of that to think that the Indians would remember me. In the winter time, they had a skating rink there, and the boys played hockey, and also curling rink alongside of it. And in the summertime, that place, which was called the Dawson Amateur Athletic Association building, they had a swimming pool there. So, of course, we all went to swim in this little swimming pool in the summertime. That's something that Fairbanks hasn't got, and I've always talked about that. That's what they should have.
Do you remember, again, the name of the gentleman that had charge in that
VA? Yes, Phil Kramer.
That's right.
And his name wasn't Phil. His name wasn't Phil, but Phil was his father. But Phil Kramer and my brother and Marjorie Shaw had birthdays on the same day, the 11th of March. So one year, we gave a big party, and it must have been every child in Dawson was invited to this party, and we had between 200 and 300 at this party that they had that night. They had engaged the Masonic Hall there. That was one of the big affairs there. But we all had birthday parties nearly every day, it seemed like. Some place to go.
I wonder if you could tell us, you said you came to Alaska. Could you please tell us who came to Alaska with you and who were the members of your family?
Well, my father came up here in 1897.
And his name was?
Arne Bleachel. And then he came, he was here and came down the Yukon River and out by the way of Nome in 1899. And then we came back, my mother and brother and I.
And
the brother's name? Arthur Bleachel. And Alaska was not new to our family because I had an uncle in my father's brother. Was up in the Circle Country in 1894. So, of course, he knew all about Alaska, and my father was anxious for him to come up too.
His name
was Olaf, O-L-A-F, Olaf Lutro.
And what did
he do? He was mining up there. Mm-hmm. He came out in 98 and didn't go back.
Now we know who we were.
Oh.
I wonder now if you could tell us. We're going to interrupt at different points along here. As long as we keep up this continuity,
mm-hmm.
which is important, and I think we've stopped now at the point where the Indians would come to visit with you. But I'd like to go back just a little bit and ask you a couple of questions about Robert's service. How did he mix with the people there? Was he very much a member of the community?
Yes, he was. And, of course, he was a bank clerk. That's what he did, you know. And then he was writing besides. And nearly every night in the summer, we would see him on the hillside sitting in the air with his girlfriend, although he didn't marry that girl. But he sat up there, and I suppose he was writing or had thoughts of what he was going to write about.
Now, did you get a chance to read some of his work there?
Oh, yes. Yes, we had his books there and read them in school.
And what was the general feeling about him there at that time? I mean, about his work? Did you feel that he was really capturing the flavor of the country?
No, we didn't feel that he would be as renowned as he has been at the time.
Did you like his work then?
Yes. Especially the ballads of the Cheechaka that he wrote and the songs of the sourdough.
How did people feel about him in the town? Was he well accepted by the people?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Was he friendly?
He was very friendly. Anyway, friendly to the kids, and to us, anyhow, it's been about every day.
Did you ever argue with him about whether or not he was truly capturing the color and the feeling of the country?
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that. I was very young, you know.
How did the people feel about him? Did they feel that he was really telling the North Country stories and his ballads and his writings?
Oh, I couldn't say that.
Did he really capture the flavor of it?
I couldn't say that they did because there was so many that was writing these jingles, you know, at that time that they never thought that he would be so well known.
Now, one other question. You mentioned about the mosquitoes and at different meetings we often asked, how did you keep the mosquitoes off? You mentioned the head net and the smudges, but what else did you do to keep these ever?
They have Burak. Have you ever heard of that? Burak and Burnt Fat.
Yes.
Yeah.
What did you do when you walked across the country?
Well, you'd have to have the head nets on when you did that, of course. Like I say, when we lived in Dawson, we didn't have to have them on account of the smoke and things at that time. But, of course, that goes into something else now. When you get down in the tundra, now I'm not going into my other life. Lower life? My other life, I should say. Well, I have combated a lot of mosquitoes and a little bit of mosquitoes. So that's where the tundra is, you know.
Did you use anything else?
Well, we had citronella.
Citronella? Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Oh, not that I know of. Mm-hmm. Another thing that I would like to say, too, at this time, I in the years that we, because when we came to Dawson in 1902, we had electricity. We didn't have washing machines or irons or anything like that, but we did have electricity. And in the early days when we were on the creek side, we didn't have these gas lamps like they have, these Coleman lamps. Everything was kerosene. And I didn't know very much about the gas lamps until I went down to Ruby, that's in 17, but that's another story altogether, see, that part of my life.
Well, I would ask you any more questions.
You're
going to pick up your thread here about 1905
now. Well, I was outside in 1904, and going through, we went back to Minneapolis to visit, and well, I was going there, these Indians came and met the trains, you know, and everything, and with a horse and buggy, and oh, I was so excited. I said, oh, look at those Indians, they've got horses. I couldn't imagine that, you know. So then when we went back there and stayed with my mother's family, sister, who's married to a minister, and of course they, you know, don't have too, didn't at that time in 1904 have too much to eat. And so the women folks were invited out this particular night, and they were having creamed ham. So when my mother came home from that party that she and my aunt had been to, I crawled up in her lap and I started crying. See, what's the matter? I said, well, I said, I want to go home today. I can't even get enough to eat. So I said, well, what does it matter? What did you have? We had cream ham. So my aunt said, bah, the idea. Why don't you bring your children to eat everything? She said, well, my mother said, I wouldn't eat the cream ham either, because ham at that time, you know, was pretty strong. He didn't have the new way of curing it, and the same with the bacon. But in later years, then, it came out that they would have this covering that they would put on the ham and bacon. And your ham and bacon was much better then. But I remember Ed Crawford here in town, he was at this Christmas party that was over 40 people at, that my mother cooked for, and that they had rabbits and ptarmigan was the main thing for the dinner. And I can't remember having turkey. I don't believe we had any turkeys at that time. I didn't. Yeah, this is in Dawson, up on the creek in 1900, Christmas 1900. And they had beef. You could get beef there, because they drove the beef in from the coast into Dawson and slaughterhouses. The same here in Fairbanks in 1907, they had a slaughterhouse out on Bone Creek when we were there that summer. So, killed quite a few cattle. They had no way of keeping it. You know, they'd have to use the meat right away.
And how did you travel on that trip?
From Dawson?
Yeah, when you left Dawson, went to Minneapolis.
Oh, we went up the river by boat, you know, and then by train from Seattle, and then back the same way. But we did make one trip in the spring of 1911 from Whitehorse down by horses over the ice along the trail. But it was in the early part of March, and it was wonderful weather, just like we're having here at the present time. It didn't get cold.
How long were you in Minneapolis,
when
did you come back?
We came back that fall. We just out for the summer.
You came back in the fall of 1904?
Yes,
And how long did you remain at Dawson then?
Well, I was from there until 1911. We didn't leave Dawson until 1911. But in the meantime, we came to Fairbanks for just for the summer.
And when did you do that?
1907.
How did the women make out in Dawson in those clothing problems and food preserving problems.
Well, I can't say that there was any hardship. It's just how you make your life. If you can find hardships if you want to, but if you want to get along, you can get along. And that's the way that most of the people did. And you never heard of anyone freezing or anything like that. They were always well covered. The children were always well taken care of. Because when it was 45 below, the school bell didn't ring. We didn't go to school then. We'd have to make it up in the end of the season, which would be well into June before school would be out.
Did you can berries in those times, or the summer times, or winter? Or did
they
dry them?
No, they would dry the berries, but they're not much canning. No. Because everybody had gardens there in Dawson and things like that.
How they preserved their garden then for the winter?
Well, they didn't. No. No, they didn't.
There's quite a lot of gardens in Dawson yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
You find them myself alone there this summer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I know there is lots up there.
Well, you say that you left Dawson in 1970.
Mm-hmm.
And is this that other life you don't want to talk about?
Well, that's going to take too long, see. That's 1917, from 1917 up to the present time. And that would take another tape to tell that, you see. That's my married life. And I have had, I will say that I have had a lot of experiences. In that other
line. You say you lived in Dawson then until 1911. And you came out and left Dawson for one season in 1907 in Fairbanks. Now, all the time you were growing up, I assume,
Yes, I finally got into high school then.
How did these patterns of life change from this 1904 period that you left off on up to, say, 1911 when you left Dawson? How did the life of Dawson change? How did your living handle, your problems, things of that sort?
Well, you see, it's... A company came in there then into Dawson and took up quite a few of the mining claims. Of course, everyone came down to Fairbanks here when the strike was on.
That was the Dominion Mining Company?
No, that was the Yukon Gold.
Yukon Gold.
Mm-hmm. And so then, of course, people left and came on down here. Quite a number of them, and a number of them went outside.
Was there any outstanding gold
strike
made that you remember a little about?
No, not at that time. I remember that when we first moved to Dawson, there was a mail strike. And my father went on up to that strike. But it was hard to get supplies in there, and there wasn't very much doing up there at that time in the mail country.
What
did you hear about the Eagle country and Wade Creek down in that area? I have to answer that. I don't know.
That later?
No, I haven't been in that part of the country. But I do remember Eagle when we came down 1907, because when we went back that fall, they had the most delicious pork. We all stopped and got these great big pork to eat. You remember that? It was lovely.
What were the some of the prices that
you encountered in those days,
you
recall, you must have had operated
on a
gold system
then.
Is
that right?
Did
you make the
purchase in the gold dust, or
did you have? Oh, no.
We had currency then. Mm-hmm.
With
possibly
rather high?
Yeah, I don't think it was as high as it is today. Yeah.
no food problems?
No, we didn't have.
Oh,
well, I was just a particular ham that I didn't like. For a ham, we used to get. But I don't know, we had everything that, of course, we didn't have the fresh fruits that you have today up there. And the same with the vegetables in the winter time, we didn't have that like we used. But nowadays, everything is flowing in here and makes a difference.
Can you describe the clothing to a little extent? Because everything has changed today. The youth have to wear in those days of undocked, the type of clothing.
Well, I don't know that any very much different. Because we wore a long handle, everybody did. And long socks all the time. But the flat shoes is what most of us wore there. Because they always had those. And most pockets, we didn't know what pockets were, no. No, they just had coats and jackets, is all it. There's one. Some fur and some knitted.
Could you give us just a little taste of this other life and kind of.
In 1911, I got out of school. We were going to Florida, that's where we planned to go. So everything was given away just like that because we were going to Florida and didn't need it. And my uncle was down in Florida at all these different places to find out where we would settle. One day we'd get telegrams and find ideal spot. The next day, no, the water's no good here. So, of course, we ended up in settling in the state of Washington, at a place in Mount Vernon, Washington. We had a place over in Kitsap County that looked awfully nice. So, in the meantime, a terrible fog came up. Of course, Seattle has a lot of fog on the waterfront there. And we'd have to come in every day to high school and go back because there's no high schools over in Fremington or any of those places at that time in 1911. So there was two ferryboats that collided, so that changed my mother's mind. We wouldn't go there, so we went up to Mount Vernon and we settled. And I was there 6 years in Mount Vernon. In the meantime, my brother came up here because we had two uncles in the Ruby district. So then in 1917 I came up to visit. And then I was married here.
Well, are there any questions covering the first line of 1917? Well, if not, why, let's hold it.
Mrs. Clark, may I ask you if this next summer, if we go to Dawson again, would it be with your permission that we could play some of this story to the people in Dawson? They're very interested in the history. And I have made tape recordings at Dawson and made transfer tapes and sent back to them.
Well, you know what we heard first.
I made transfer tapes and then sent them back to them for their historical.
Well, there's very few people up there left now that I went to school with in Dawson. Right now. Very few people there.
The Canadian government is going all out to restore a lot of the buildings in Dawson for a historical and tourist attraction. And I just wanted to ask you now
Well, yeah, after I hear it.
You
want to
hear it again?
Well,
anytime you want to hear it, I'll gladly play it. If you want to pay me an offer, I'll make it
up. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Boyle. And if there, I think we'll have you back to the Southern Life because you've.
Yes, I don't know how interesting I think of this.
If there are no other questions, we'll stand adjourned this evening, but.
Say who you are.
Andy Wicken.
Francis Baker.
Bill Owenski.
Mark Manville.
Jason Johnson. Bill Johnson.
Alma Matlock.
Frank Young Sr.
I'm setting a snare, you know.
Dolly Young.
Chris Kelly.
Anella Davis. Lee Aaron.
William K. Eddie Davis. Harry Hughes, recording. This is the end of this tape of Mrs. Edwin McCoy's early life in Boston.
Pioneer Women of Alaska, and that's the original Pioneer Women.
And a member of?
And the first president of the Auxiliary No. 8 Pioneer Women of Alaska.
You're still a member of Auxiliary 8 also?
Oh, yeah, a life member.
A life member, okay.